Slowly, we walked on a path through a thick forest. The trees hesitantly swayed with the quiet wind. The sky looked as if it was filled with smoke, endless gray smoke that made the sun dull. Around sunset, we arrived at an abandoned village with 6 mud houses. We sat on the floor of the veranda of one of the houses. I looked at Junior, whose face was sweating. He had been so quiet lately. He looked at me and smiled a little before his face resumed its dullness. He got up and walked out to the yard. Never moving, he stared at the sky until the sun disappeared. On his way back to sit on the veranda, he picked up a stone and played with it throughout the evening. I kept looking at him, hoping that we could have another eye contact, and maybe he would then say something about what was going on in his head. But he wouldn't look up. He only played with the stone in his hand and stared at the ground. Once, Junior taught me how to skip a stone on a river. We had gone to fetch water, and he told me he had learned a new magic that let him make stones walk on water. Bending his body sideways, he threw stones out, and each one walked on the water farther than the last. He told me to try, but I couldn't do it. He promised to teach me the magic some other time. As we were walking back home with buckets of water on our heads, I slipped and fell, spilling the water. Junior gave me his bucket, took my empty one, and returned to the river. When he came home, the first thing he did was ask me if I was hurt from falling. I told him I was fine, but he examined my knees and elbows anyway, and when he was done, he tickled me. As I looked at him that evening, sitting on the veranda of a house in an unknown village, I wanted him to ask me if I was fine. Jibrilla, Talui, Kaloko, and Kalilu were all looking at the top of the forest that engulfed the village. Jibrilla's nose twitched as he sat with his chin on his knee. When he exhaled, his whole body moved. Talui continuously tapped his foot on the floor as if trying to distract himself from thinking about the present. Kaloko was restless. He couldn't sit still and kept switching positions and sighed each time he did so. Kalilu sat quietly. His face showed no emotion and his spirit seemed to have wandered away from his body. I wanted to know how Junior was feeling, but I couldn't find the right moment to break into the silence of that evening. I wish I had. The following morning, a large group of people passed through the village. Among the travelers was a woman who knew Jibrilla. She told him that his aunt was in a village about 30 miles from where we were. She gave us directions. We filled our pockets with unripe oranges that were sour and unbearable to eat, but the only source of food at our disposal, and we were on our way. Kamator was very far away from Matrujong, where the rebels were still in control, but the villagers were on guard and ready to move any time. In return for food and a place to sleep, the 6 of us were appointed watchmen. 3 miles from the village was a big hill. From the top, one could see as far as a mile down the path toward the village. It was at the top of that hill that we stood watch from early in the morning until nightfall. We did this for about a month and nothing happened. Still, we knew the rebels well enough to brace for their arrival, but we lost our vigilance to the gradual passing of time. The season for planting was approaching. The first rain had fallen, softening the soil. Birds began building their nests in the mango trees. Dew came down every morning and left the leaves wet and soaked the soil. The odor of the soaked soil was irresistibly sharp at midday. It made me want to roll on the ground. One of my uncles used to joke that he would like to die at this time of year. The sun rose earlier than usual and was at its brightest in the blue, almost cloudless sky. The grass on the side of the path was half dry and half green. Ants could be seen on the ground carrying food into their holes. Even though we tried to convince them otherwise, the villagers grew certain the rebels weren't coming, and so they ordered us from our scouting post and out into the fields. It wasn't easy.